Hi, I'm Carrie Bishke, professional athlete, licensed therapist, and mindset coach. I created Ready, Set, Mindful as an online mental health resource for athletes and high performers like you. And this is the Ready, Set, Mindful podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Ready, Set, Mindful podcast. I am your host, Carrie Bishke, former pro volleyball player turned therapist and mindset coach for athletes and high performers. If you want to learn a little bit more about me and what I do, or check out all of my free resources, including blogs, meditations, and other fun things, go check out ReadySetMindful.com. If you are a high performer or an athlete and you're wanting to improve your mental performance, your mental health, and become ultimately the higher version of yourself, you are in the right spot. So thank you so much for being with me today. I'm excited to talk about this episode. This is going to be all about my race recap. I did a half Ironman, a 70.3 race, my first one last Saturday. So this episode is going to just be all about lessons learned from my first half Ironman. I've done lots of races before, marathons, halves, other Olympic distance, triathlons, volleyball tournaments, lots of athletic endeavors in my career, but this has been my first multi-sport pushing my body to its limits. So the half Ironman was something that I've been wanting to do for a really long time, and I'm so glad I finally got to kind of check it off my list and experience it. It was so cool. It was a really amazing experience, and I'm just so excited to be able to talk to you guys about it. But before we dive in here, I have some other super exciting news that I have coming up next week. No, I'm not pregnant, but it's something I'm very excited about sharing with you guys. So you have to stay tuned for next week's Wednesday podcast episode. I'll be making the big announcement there. So I'm very excited about that. So stay tuned in Instagram and stories, and we'll be kind of hinting at what it's going to be. So I'm really excited to announce that on the podcast episode next Wednesday. So as of right now, I am currently in North Carolina. I've been away from Tampa for a little bit now, traveled to Panama City for the race, and then Austin, my husband, went and met me at Panama City because we've been separated, but we've been apart for the last month. So he came to meet me for the race, which was really cool, and then I just went back with him so we can kind of be together. Because a month and a half is a long time to be apart. It's nothing like the deployments or anything like that, but I don't like to be away from my best friend for very long. So it's nice that we get to kind of reconnect and be together. So I'm still out of town doing this podcast off-site. I'll be back in Tampa tomorrow, thankfully, so that'll be good. My legs are just now starting to feel not so heavy from the race. I've been feeling really, really amazing actually since the race, minus some weird vertigo. I've been having intense vertigo. I'm wondering if anybody else has experienced that. I posted on my stories yesterday and got quite a few comments of people telling me how I can kind of make that stop and what I can do to remedy that. So I really appreciate everyone who's reached out. Yeah, first time having vertigo, it's not fun. You just feel super disoriented, like the room is spinning. It really messes with your balance and makes you nauseous, and I had a headache associated with that. So super, super strange. I actually went to urgent care yesterday just to try to see what that was. And yeah, so not super fun. And during the race, I mean, I noticed people, like for the swim, people were really disoriented, had water in their ears, were throwing up, all that kind of stuff. And I remember passing those people and just being like, oh yeah, I'm so glad of that. I'm so glad I feel great. And then fast forward to, you know, just a few days later, I'm kind of having these interesting symptoms as well. So nothing I experienced during the race, but a few days after, not super fun. So anyways, about the race, I want to kind of get into that a little bit. I'll talk about what it was to kind of be there and experience that, what I learned during the race, things I would have done differently, things that I did that worked and what didn't, and just talk about my routine and nutrition and that kind of stuff. Because I love hearing about other people's experience with their races. And so you can always kind of pick up tips and tricks that can help you if you're preparing for some big event that you have coming up. So here we go. So we got to the race Friday morning. I mean, I like to get to the site and to have kind of eyes on the course. And, you know, when I've done marathons and other events and things like that, it's something that really calms your anxiety to just go there, kind of walk around a bit, familiarize yourself with the environment. So that was super helpful for me to get there really early. So the race was on Saturday morning. So Austin and I got there Friday morning, made sure we have plenty of time to kind of scope out the course, scope out the ocean, grab my packet, you know, fun things like that. So we got there and immediately went to the water. We went to the water. The ocean was something that, it's no surprise, that's my number one worst fear other than jumping out of an airplane, which is, I mean, those two are pretty neck and neck. Swimming in the ocean is definitely my worst fear. So it was something that I've been really mentally prepping for, training for, and, you know, come Friday morning, that time was finally there. It was starting to set in. And so we get to the ocean and Austin was making these comments like, oh my gosh, do you think they have places to rent surfboards? Like, look at the waves. And he totally wasn't meaning to terrify me in that moment. But I was like, yeah, you know, a comment like, wow, look at those waves really made me, you know, definitely set in that, yeah, like the water does not look super calm if someone could be making a comment like they wanted to surf those waves. So that made me a little nervous. So we got in the water, you know, just to kind of feel the temperature, see what it was going to be like. So that was good. That kind of helped a little bit. And I was standing there kind of just looking at the ocean for a little bit as thoughts started to swirl into my brain. Like, am I prepared enough for this? Man, I wish I would have had more ocean swims under my belt. Gosh, those waves are really coming in. Like, how am I going to manage this? So some anxious thoughts were coming in, and then I tried to harness those thoughts a little bit by focusing on, you know, things that would be helpful to focus on. Like, it was really beautiful. The ocean was such a beautiful blue, green, clear color. It was absolutely stunning. The temperature was warm. You know, it was a really pretty day. I was focused on training my brain to focus on that Austin was there to support me, how grateful I was that he was there to support me. So when our brain kind of focuses on the negative and when we're in that anxious space, it's so, so helpful to focus on something that is going okay, something that's going right. Not that it needs to be the exact opposite of like, oh my gosh, no, I'm not afraid of the ocean. The ocean is beautiful. It's my friend. Like, I'm not scared, trying to suppress it in that way, but I'm just trying to focus on what else is there that's true and real and that's working, right? So that really helped me kind of get out of my head and into, you know, just a better headspace with regarding the ocean, right? Because that was something I was super nervous about. So that was good. Scoped out the course. The race was so well organized the day before, and picking up my packet, it was super fun to see all the Ironman, you know, they were setting up the finish line, the start line, and the transition area, and seeing all of these athletes walking around. And, you know, it was the thousands of dollars of, you know, the bikes, like some bikes there, like worth more than my car. I mean, some bikes were absolutely insane. So looking at the transition area of all of these thousands of dollar, you know, bicycles that were there, just stacked one on top of another. It was just so cool. I went to go pick up my packet and got an awesome, my shirt and my bib and my timing chip and all that kind of stuff. Walked through the Ironman store, and got a hat. That was really cool. And Austin even made a comment like, wow, this is so well organized. And this is such a cool vibe. And the energy is just really flowing. Like, I would love to be a part of this. I want to do this someday. So He got the bug pretty early on into the race weekend. So hopefully I'm going to hold him accountable for that too. So now we have this podcast too. Now he's on blast that he really did say that and he has to commit to it. So anyway, so the day before was good. We went to this place to go get some food. It was called Dat, D-A-T, Dat Cajun Place or Dat. Yeah, I think it was called Dat Cajun Place. So I got some chicken. Got some fried chicken, actually. Not my norm for food for sure, but I wanted to make sure to get something heavy that was gonna stick. It was gonna stay in my stomach for a little bit, keep me full, give me some energy. So I got some chicken and yeah, and then we went to bed super early, probably like 8 p.m. because the next day we had to wake up. I woke up at 3 a.m. So woke up at 3 a.m. the next morning. Super early, had just a smidgen of coffee. I'm always super mindful race day to do the exact same routine. You don't want to do anything super different. You want your body to be used to what it's going to be having, although you're waking up a bit earlier. No surprises. So I like to have just a little bit of coffee. My body's used to that, and some oatmeal. So I had some overnight oats. I had a few bites of that. I was pretty nervous that morning. So that's always a struggle. I don't know if anyone else struggles with that as well. Just not being super hungry in the morning and feeling just, your stomach can be in knots sometimes, feeling nervous. And trying to eat that early is just awkward. I usually don't eat breakfast until I do like fasted workouts, so I actually don't like to run or do my workouts with a ton of food in my stomach anyways. So sometimes I'll have just a couple bites of oats and maybe like a bite of a banana, something like that, and then I'll really eat like a bigger breakfast like once I'm done with my morning workout. So anyway, around that 3:30 a.m., I shoved a couple bites of oatmeal in my mouth, a little bit of a banana and some coffee. And then headed over that way. Luckily, we got a parking spot, which is great. And then, I was in the transition area. Austin wasn't able to go in there with me. So I was just in there by myself and got to talk to these two amazing people who I have no idea how to find. I have their first names and their last names. Well, actually, I forgot the guy's last name. I could probably look for him in the participant list, Jake. And then Michelle Kim. Michelle Kim, if you were listening to this podcast, I forget if I told you I don't broadcast that I have a podcast. I haven't been able to find or reconnect with these two people that I had such a connection with prior to the race. We were talking about how it was our first time doing the triathlon, doing a 70.3. And we were sharing our nerves together. Should we wear a wetsuit? Should we not wear a wetsuit? You guys are nervous for the swim. I'm nervous for the swim. So we were like just really bonding a lot. And I got a picture of us together. Austin took a picture of us together. So it was just so fun in that like transition area to get to chat with them and, just bond with other people who were also nervous for this event and having it be their first time was just pretty cool. And then a couple other people in our transition area, were more seasoned triathletes and Ironman folks. So it's nice to kind of have that blend of people you can kind of bond with, that it's your first time, and then also have that seasoned experience to be able to, people are there to kind of calm your nerves, just have fun, make sure to look out for this, XYZ. So it was a really amazing experience in there. So much energy. So going into the swim was, I was pretty nervous about that. I'm always nervous about just what's beneath, right? The things that you can't see. So the sharks, jellyfish, other fun animals that are in the ocean, we're kind of in their world. So I got lots of respect, have lots of respect for the ocean. And so I was kind of nervous about the swim for lots of different reasons, right? I'm not a super strong swimmer. I just wanted to get through it. So my goal time for my swim was 45 minutes. So, and it was quite choppy out there. The conditions were not great. So I was like, okay, if I finish in like 48 minutes, that would still be great. Right. So that was my goal. So you can line yourself up with pacing. So that's kind of what they did. You had a self-paced start. So, everyone kind of lined up with where they thought they were going to finish. So super fast people in front, and then beyond that was like, you know, 40 to 45 minutes over here, 46 to 49, et cetera, et cetera. So lined up between, yeah, like the 45 to 49 within that time frame, in the ocean for the ocean swim. So also before that, we had learned that it's not like, in order for it to be wetsuit legal, it has to be a certain, the water has to be a certain temperature, and it was not that temperature. So it was a little warmer. So no one was really wearing their wetsuit. You could wear your wetsuit if you wanted to. So it was wetsuit optional, which I decided not to, because I didn't want to, start in the back. You have to start in the very back if you wear your wetsuit. And then you're not eligible for any awards or slots or anything like that. Not that I was trying to win anything, but I just wanted to, you know, I wanted to do it without a wetsuit. I'd been training without a wetsuit. I was like, okay, it's fine. It doesn't really affect me that much. The thing that did affect me a ton was the fact that I couldn't have music the entire race. So I don't swim with music, so that wasn't really a bummer, but 56 miles on the bike without music and 13 miles without music was, yeah, it was a game changer. So man, if you want to bump up your mental training to the next level, I'll tell you what, running or riding for long distances without music, that'll do it. That'll get you real comfortable with your thoughts or uncomfortable. And man, that'll just make you more resilient. So I always will have this race to like lean on for that. Like I did 56 miles on the bike. I did 13 miles without music. Like how cool is that? You know, but that really messed with me. I learned that the night before. And I messaged my friend Brandon Rouse, who had been my Ironman kind of guru, who I was asking all my questions to. He was so, so helpful. Shout out to Brandon. He's freaking amazing. He was such an awesome like mentor and friend during this race. But he was like, oh yeah, shoot, sorry, I forgot to tell you that it's, you can't do the race with music. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. If I would have known that, I would have trained without music, you know. But so that was a pivot for sure. So anyway, got into the water, people were swimming kind of in front of me, cutting me off, which is to be expected. You know, you have 1400 participants total, like people are going to kind of bob and weave into you, and that's fine. The biggest thing that was unexpected there were the jellyfish, like the amount of jellyfish. I actually got stung on my left arm. It was burning I got stung pretty early on, so it was burning the entire swim. But thankfully it kind of, fizzled out as my focus shifted throughout the bike ride and the run. So, but yeah, the jellyfish were definitely a factor. I was opening my eyes, you know, with my goggles on as I was swimming, and you could just, it kind of looked like Avatar, like or bioluminescence, you know, when you're kind of wading through, like you can see your arms moving through and creating like light. It was these jellies that were just constant in front of you. It was crazy. It was so much of a barrier that actually people were going back. There were quite a few people that turned back around and just, I think they just DNF'd. Like they didn't finish. They just screwed the swim and went on to the other events. Like, yeah, it was pretty crazy. So after the swim, lots of people were throwing up, feeling super dizzy, disoriented. I was like, oh man, I'm glad I'm not them. Little did I know I was going to get that a few days later, which was strange. But yeah, I guess that's a thing. Lots of athletes take Dramamine and try to just get through the swim without getting super nauseous. But so yeah, got the swim done. It was fantastic. Finished in 46 minutes, which I was really proud of. I was out of the water. Great. One event done. Got onto the bike, had all my transition stuff set up, was on the bike. Everything was pretty smooth. Got out of the transition area, and then less than like a quarter of a mile out of the transition area, some guy just wiped out, totally crashed, was gaining a bunch of speed, and then just like was reaching for something in his back pocket and then just totally crashed right in front of me. I had to veer super hard to the right. And then yeah, me and this other guy had to veer super hard to the right to avoid him. And that was just kind of the case the whole 56 miles. People were, you know, four other people wiped out in front of me throughout the course. And then I called it like the Trail of Tears. There were just so many like Oakleys and super expensive sunglasses and gear and water bottles and nutrition that were like just like dropped along the way. And you can kind of see where people wiped out. And yeah, you're just like, oh my gosh. I was like, oh, I'm grateful I don't have music actually, because I can be hyper focused on literally just keep your eyes on the road, keep your eyes on your brakes, like be mindful of like who's to your left, who's to your right, who's around you. So I was just super cautious on the bike and, you know, and made it through, thankfully. So it was good. So I did 3 hours and 8 minutes on the bike, which was good. My goal was 3:18. So I made it under, made up some time on the bike, which was good. Still have room to improve there. And then on to the run. And the run, I started out super strong, which was great. And then my watch died. Mile six. I was like, no. So I had no idea what pace I was going. I had to just rely on my, you know, on my training and what I thought I was going and all of that. So I thought wrong and I was going 10 minutes or 10 seconds over what I, you know, what my goal pace was. So my goal pace was 10:30. I was going 10:40 for the entire time. So my run was a little slower than I would have liked, which is a bummer. You live and you learn. So I finished 19th out of 39, I think, for my age group. So not terrible, definitely not the best, but it was, you know, I was super proud of that, especially seeing all the things that could go wrong. Man, there's a lot of room for things to go wrong on the race. I mean, you, especially like in the swim, I mean, things you can't control either, right? Like your stomach, you know, that's a tough one. Getting stung, things like that. So the swim, a lot of people get DNFs, and then for the bike, I mean, crashes. Some people don't make it back onto their bike, right? Like they get injured. So I was so grateful that I didn't drop anything. I was super careful reaching for things when I was on the bike to make sure that I didn't have that many errors there. But yeah, there's a lot of room for things to go wrong. So I was happy that at least my nutrition was dialed. I was super proud of that. My planning, for my transitions were good, and that my body just cooperated with me, like no cramping, no nausea, no nothing like that. So those were solid things. Sorry, you might hear someone's car is going off. I'm at the hotel here and someone's car is going off with fun honks. Hopefully it's not mine. So anyway, so five things that I learned from doing this half Ironman. Number one, don't ride too close to people. So many people crashed right in front of me and I barely dodged them. So I just wanted to be as far away from people and protect myself, you know, as much as possible. So I didn't want to be like too close to people, because you could be doing everything right, but it's other people too, right? You have to hope that they're doing everything right and they're being super mindful. And yeah, so control as much as you can there. So don't ride too close to people. I would pass and then I'd get as far as I could to the right to just kind of create my own little bubble and create space. So that was something that was super helpful for me. Number two, more electrolytes leading up to the race. I'm pretty sure that's why I got vertigo so bad, which was, man, such a big learning experience, such a big lesson, because, man, it is not fun to have vertigo. It's been really disruptive to work, to podcasting, to just workouts, like daily life. So electrolytes, more electrolytes leading up to the race would be good. So now that's something that I know. So definitely dehydration can cause vertigo, which I think I was just electrolyte, you know, depleted. So that's something that I will take into preparation for next time. Number three, so many people threw up after the swim. I got super lucky, but I wasn't prepared for witnessing that, right? Like I was like, oh my goodness, like that was something that kind of threw me a little bit. Just preparation. I was glad that nothing happened to me, but maybe having Dramamine or something and earplugs, I think next time for the swim, that's definitely a lesson learned. So water doesn't like crawl up into my ear. So my friend Brandon told me that he does that. Like earplugs are non-negotiable for him. And I was like, oh yeah, maybe No, next time I will have earplugs. So, lesson learned. Number four, I got stung by jellyfish. So, putting just unexpected things into training is going to be good, right? Because as much as we can't control things like that happening, I try to do this sometimes, like when I was doing my pool workouts, just visualizing like things in the water. How would I respond if I saw, a jellyfish or a shark or someone did kick me in the face? Like practicing my breathing, like through unexpected situations like that, I think could have been better. So I would definitely prepare more with more ocean water, open water swims. And then just visualization, I think, for when those unexpected things happen. Because the last thing you want to do is have that shock to your system and have that panic set in the water, right? So thankfully, I got stung. It was fine. I kind of realized what was happened. I realized what happened and I was breathing through it. But I think even more preparation could be super helpful. So for you, if you're listening to this and you've had unexpected things happen to you during a game or during a race, different things like that, and you just want to be a little bit more on your game, nothing like repping that out in training with visualization for those unexpected events, like that's going to be super helpful for you. So I will definitely throw that more into my training next time as well. Number five, I learned the night before that I would have to do the whole race without music. So it's kind of soul crushing. So I will be reading the freaking fine print for all races from now on and training without music. I mean, talk about mental toughness. Like that was hard. And it was really hard to not fixate on that. I mean, I did fixate on that. So, and my friends Jake and Michelle, if they're listening, they can definitely attest to that too. They kept fixating on the wetsuit. Oh shoot, wetsuits aren't legal. Crap, crap, crap. I trained with the wetsuit and I was like, guys, I don't give a shit about the wetsuit, but like music, did you guys know about that? And they're like, yeah, we've been training without music. So I was like, damn it. So the music thing was definitely, oh man, that was just a hard one for me. So knowing that, I mean, I will definitely train without music. And I do follow like a few people on Instagram, a few ultra runners who are just badass humans in general, but they train without music for quite a bit of their training runs and then save their music as an incentive. So you can use lots of things to incentivize you for races and things like that. So, okay, I'm just gonna get to this water station. I'm just gonna pump myself up for this next mile and then I can have a little. I know that there's electrolytes there. I know that I can have some goo or like whatever it is. So you kind of pump yourself up for that. But for ultra runners, right? Like sometimes there's so many miles between aid stations or no aid stations at all. And so you have to incentivize yourself in other ways. And so sometimes I know some ultra runners do that with like, okay, I'm not going to run for like the first 25 miles, which is insane, but awesome. And I'll probably end up doing that too, but not run with music for the first 25 miles. And then I have something to look forward to for the last, 25, or I'm not going to run with music for the first 80 miles. And then for the last 20, I'll have some music or something like that. So I think training without music is just, yeah, it's incredible and super therapeutic too. You can really let your brain kind of process what it wants to process and be reflective without music, because it is an assist. Like music does help. It absolutely helps. Like I created this whole playlist, this whole Ironman playlist that I was so pumped on, and I was, I had Queen on there, Don't Stop Me Now. I was like singing that like on the car ride on the way to the race, and I was so excited. I'm like, oh yeah, this is a good one to put at this point during the race. So it definitely helps. It helps you with that energy and that extra little bump of motivation when you're feeling kind of depleted. So it's a tough one. So I'll definitely train without music for whatever race I decide to do next, because I think that was super helpful in building just more resiliency, So it's cool to be able to look back on now that I did that without music. So yeah, I would encourage you, and I want to hear, like, do you listen to music? Do you not listen to music when you train? Like, how do you feel like it impacts you? Some people I feel like are more reliant on music than others, you know, and I'm definitely one of those people for sure. So those were my takeaways from the race. I thought it was just such a well-organized event. The, you know, half Ironman, Panama City Beach, like, thank you to all the volunteers. It was so amazing. I mean, my watch died at mile 6 of the race, which was hard, you know. And so when I saw Austin, I saw my really good friends, Derek and Lindy, and their baby Dahlia. They came to support me. So they were super sweet and amazing support system. So I had them and Austin there. And I was so excited to see them at like every 5 miles, I believe, because it was 3 loops. So it was, or every, yeah, every like 4.5 miles of the run. So I got to see them 3 different times. And so on the second loop, I like threw my watch at Austin. I was like, it died. So we'll see what happens. But I was so excited to see them. And that definitely, you know, having a support system there definitely really helped out. And it was, you know, such a good crowd and so much amazing energy. But yeah, having Austin there was just such a massive motivator for me. I always want to make him so proud because he's also, he's just such an amazing athlete and support person. And I know he was so proud of me. And so it was really fun to just do this race and see him at the finish line. It was so cool. So we got to celebrate after I came through the finish line and, you know, got the medal and got another little finisher hat. And we went and had an amazing, you know, meal after. And it was just really fun to celebrate with some of my favorite people. Made the experience just so much more special. So hopefully if you are someone who is racing, you have at least one person who's there to greet you at the finish line. It really does help kind of incentivize and motivate you in those moments when you're feeling low and you're feeling depleted and you're feeling super hot. I was like, oh my gosh, the sun is really beating down on me. After my watch died, I had something else to focus on. I was like, oh man, the sun's beating down, but my shoes are keeping me like pretty energized. So that was a big focal point for me to kind of shift my attention from how hot it was to like how much energy and juice my Hoka Rockets were giving me. Those were such an amazing shoe for this race. I'm so excited that I bought those. So if you have good gear, you know, it's definitely something that really helped me to like lean into for this race. So I was pretty well equipped and very grateful that I did the research that I did and talked to the people that I did who've done, you know, done these races before. So shout out to Brandon Rouse. Like, thank you so much for just answering all of my questions. And I was so nervous and you really just calmed me down and were just so helpful and amazing. And his girlfriend, Lindsay, was a total badass and she finished 5th. We're in the same age group and she finished 9th, which is still amazing. So yeah, they're both really amazing people. And I'm so grateful that I have them to answer all my questions. And I will be doing future races. I had so much fun doing this one. I'm hooked. I think this distance is just so fun. I love it. And there's just a lot of mental training that you can do that comes with doing endurance races like this. You can take your brain and your body to just a whole new level, which I'm always striving to do because I think it's just, there's just nothing cooler than pushing your body and your brain to its limit, right? You just don't know what you're capable of until you kind of set new goals for yourself. So make sure that you are continuing to push yourself in cool ways. I want to hear about races that you guys have coming up, different things that you have coming up where you're planning on pushing your brain and your body to new limits. I just think that's the coolest thing. So I have my Ironman blog I have should be up right now. So readysetmindful.com, make sure to head over there and check that out. I have the Ironman tips and some photos there. And I'm just thankful that you guys are listening to this episode. Hopefully you took something away from it. Make sure if you've enjoyed to subscribe, share this episode with a friend. And if you're someone that struggles with anxiety like I do, and like I did prior to this race, I had to do my 5-minute performance anxiety meditation to definitely, you know, soothe my nerves prior to going to bed at 8 p.m. the night before. So make sure to head over to YouTube. I have the 5-minute meditation 7-day challenge over there. And also on the website, I have 5 ways for high performers to manage anxiety. So link is in the show notes. And I'm just so grateful that you guys have joined for this episode, and make sure to stay tuned for next week as I have a super exciting announcement to make. So yeah, stay tuned for that. And I will see you guys on the next episode. Thanks so much for joining us on this episode of the Ready, Set, Mindful podcast with me, Carrie Bishke. If you like what you hear, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe to the podcast. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram, or visit ReadySetMindful.com for free resources, courses, and other ways to work with me. Until next time, be well, stay mindful.